after all that. My sermon today is actually on the first letter of John, the epistle that we heard John read today. This is a very rich passage, and I could preach on it many, many times over. We get the phrase, the wonderful phrase, God is love. This passage shows who God is, how God presents himself to us, how we are empowered to do God's work, and what exactly is God's work for us. There's this movie I might have mentioned before called Contact. It was written by the book was written by the late Carl Sagan, and in it Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey play. Jodie Foster is the astrologer, and they've made contact with some alien race, and they want to go out into space. And Jodie, the character who Jodie Foster plays, doesn't believe in God. Matthew McConaughey plays a long distant friend who became a priest and does believe in God. And so Jodie Foster says to the priest, "How do you know that God exists?" And he says, "I just know." And she says, "Prove it." A little later in the scene, Jodie Foster, the character, was an only daughter and loved her father very much, who had recently passed away. And the priest asked her, "Did you love your father?" She said, "Yes, of course I did, very much." And he said, "Prove it." It's hard to prove something that's so deep and so a part of who we are, and yet you can't put it on paper. You can't measure it on a measure. Sometimes it feels that you can't touch it, but it's there. Love is the stuff of the heart and the mind, and it is the strongest force that we know and that we have. Early Christians took a rather mundane Greek word and gave it much meaning. That word is agape. I'm sure you've heard it before. Agape means the kind of love that gives sacrificially, without expecting anything in return. God is agape. Jesus died for us on a cross because of agape. We are called to agape one another. And we do not define God by our concept of love. Rather, we are defined by God's love for us, by what God has done for us. By that I mean, for example, when I was a very young child and, say, coming home from my grandmother's when we had dinner, I'd fall asleep at the back of the car, and the next thing I would know is that I'm sleeping in my own bed. Now, I don't know exactly how I got there, but I assume one of my loving parents took me and put me into bed, and when I woke up, I felt very safe and very sound and loved. And that is the kind of love that defines us through God. God looks after us in that sort of way. God calls us outwardly to express the love of God that God has given to us. And therefore, it is important to know that love is not an ideal. It's a relationship. Love is something that you work at, that you form, that you formulate over time. One of the examples I wanted to put down, I was thinking, what would be a good example of that? And interestingly, this popped into my mind. In a lot of hospitals, they employ dogs to go around and be companions to the patients. And I was thinking, why might that be a good example? Well, it's because dogs have this quality, unconditional love. They just love you no matter what, most of the time. Saying God is love is not a simple universal truth. It is what the Gospels hang on. It is the reason for the Gospel to begin with. Jesus says it. He says, what's the most important thing? Two things, but they are really one. Loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Love. The whole Gospel hangs on this and nothing else. In this world with power without pity, with superficial commerciality and very complex world issues, it is easy sometimes to think of a gospel of hate, think a gospel of judgment, to think of a gospel of fear. Saying God is love is a profound pushback to the notion of hate, judgment, and fear. Let's look at fear, for example. Fear is a powerful and constant force in human growth, in a sense as a precursor to caution. It is healthy to have a measured amount of fear. It gives us wisdom. Human beings are naturally somewhat fearful of height, and there's a good reason for that. I remember my little niece, when she was walking by an oven, would point to it and go, "Hot!" She learned things, and that you need that sort of wisdom to protect yourself. But our journey of faith is much more than just that. If fear is your foundation, or if a religion makes fear its foundation, then you and it will be paralyzed and will always be ineffective. Fear does not produce love. It does not produce compassion. It does not produce sympathy or tenderness. We cannot scare people into tolerance or into kindness for each other. The products of fear are resentment, suspicion, and distrust. In the portion of the first letter of John that we heard today, against the power of fear that would drag us down, John sets the supreme power of love to overcome and to lift us all up. In the Globe and Mail on Saturday, there was a poem by Anne Michaels, who happens to be the poet laureate of Toronto. And she wrote a poem about the terrible incident which happened a week ago and happens to fit perfectly with my message today. So I'll read her poem. In darkness, love cries out. All night it grows, the wall of flowers, prayers, solace, spontaneous, immediate, 1,000 names, 10,000. A ribbon of whiteboard with its prayers, a blockade against the dark, glowing under the moon and stars, the moon and stars that remain in the sky when the day comes, invisible, they do not disappear, offering their proof, the lost will not be lost. We hold them close. We will form a circle of millions around them. Our dead, our wounded, our witnesses, our families, we will not surrender how we love. We will not surrender those we love. We will not surrender them to the dark. We will starve the dark, give it nothing. We are love's lamentation, love's consolation. Our love reaches every corner of the city. We know hope is not a luxury. What we give cannot be taken from us. Feel how you are needed. Let love answer. Jesus said, mercy will come to the merciful. Forgiveness will come to those who are forgiving. And love will come to those who, as best they can, live out our Christian calling to love all others unconditionally, forever and always. We are defined by the love in creation. We are defined by the love in each other. We are defined by the love of God because we are a child of God. And this child of God, this precious and loving gift, is you. Amen.